running out of ways to make you see. I want you to stay here beside me. I won't be okay and I won't pretend I am. So just tell me today and take my hand. Please take my hand. Please take my hand. Please take my hand.
Go ahead and take that on out. That's fine. There we go. There we go. Anyhow, guys, that gives me a breather right there. That's a band called Snow Patrol. If you're a big Snow Patrol fan, you can get your hand up. Let's see. Snow. We have one who is a Snow Patrol fan. Right here? There's people know who these people are? Nah. Actually, my wife likes this band. You've had videos out with the kids, and they come out. Sometimes they come out, and they're dancing and singing these songs to Snow Patrol, which I've already been a little bit introduced. But it's kind of funny. Obviously, this song from 2009, Just Say Yes, which is very much the theme of this day. And it's funny because my wife always says, you know, that's what I want to do, is start a campaign. It's just a Just Say Yes campaign. And I said, well, why is that? She said, people are always asking, how did you and Raymond get from here to there? How did you find yourself getting married? How did you find yourself planting a church? How did you find yourself raising children and then adopting 8 more? I don't know if they're asking because they want to make sure that doesn't happen to them. But, you know, all these things that, how did you get such a fulfilled life, you know? And she always says, we just say yes to the things that God's calling us to. And obviously, we didn't need a song up here today because Steve and Linda are already showing you a little bit about that. Just say yes. And it's not easy to say yes, but, you know, that's the Christmas thing, because if Jesus would not have said yes, there would be no Christmas. And understand this in that sense, did he really have a choice? I don't know. I'm not here to debate that. I'm trying to say this here. This is a good segue coming off what we talked about, this whole thing of a divine design for my life, or a built by design, this whole thing of listening to God leading me and coaching me in these things. Is what is the best way to get started? Say yes to God. Just say yes to God. And Jesus not saying yes, there wouldn't be much of a Christmas. I can see it going now. What are you doing over here, Jesus? Well, I'm helping create the world, you know. Well, we've already done that. What else are you doing? Well, you know, I'm kind of doing this and doing it. Hey, I got a plan for you. Here's the plan. It's looking like things are a little rough down there, and I need you to go down there and straighten some things out. By the way, it's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be easy. You're not going to be affirmed. There's no affirmation in this. There's no success by man's account. But will you do it? Yes. Yes, I will. And saying yes to Christmas is saying yes to God's plan. And so this Christmas, when we think about it, I want us to think about the yes that establishes what Christmas is. And the Christmas that we've all experienced, in that sense of the birth of Christ in our lives, came because we said yes. And for those who've never said that yes, that's the thing that God's waiting for, is the yes. The yes of you saying, I'm ready. Yes, I want Jesus in my life. I want him to be born here in me. I want my life to be exchanged for his. All comes upon a yes. It never works in a no, that's for sure. That's the way it works. And you would think that with Jesus that this yes was this beautiful, but we look here and we look in Philippians 2, and you look at verse 6, it says right here, and that was your, though he was God, He did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Now, you understand what I'm saying? They're laying out the theological, Paul's laying out the theological, Christological concept that Jesus was there with God. And then, and part of the Godhead. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Now, I want you to look at that verse, and I want you, some of you who's watched Wonderful Life already this year, once, at least once. Now, Clarence the angel, he's just looking for a chance to go back home, get a couple of drinks at the bar, and have a good time, right? It's a privilege to get to come to earth. Not really. And certainly wasn't for Jesus. There was no privilege of him coming, being born in the form of a human being. If I said to you, and I've often told this story of my dog who I love so much outside, our window in Anaheim, and when we lived there, and Muddy liked to roll in dog poop, and I know that's disgusting, but that's what he did, and he would come and scratch on the window, and I'd go, ain't happening. It ain't happening. You're not coming in. And he'd just whine and whine, and so at one point, I would say to my son, Richard, who's here today, I'd say, Richard, go out and clean the dog, you see. And basically, this would have been more like God say, okay, Jesus, go out and clean the humans. And by the way, I'm going to make you a human to go out and clean the humans, and they're going to kill you and devour you. This should be exciting. Okay? So get this idea that Jesus saying yes was not an easy concept. But I want you to look at the next verse. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I mean, there you see these two things put in perspective, if you will, that saying yes to Christmas has both pain and gain. And saying yes to Christmas is saying yes to God and his plan. And so we see that it has pain and its gain. It's there. And that's powerful for us to see. Because when we come into this whole concept of Christmas, often we forget both sides of that. When we come into this concept of saying yes to God, it's all supposed to be good. Nothing bad's supposed to happen again. And we've all come to this conclusion, in this church at least, that bad things do happen for good people. But I want you to understand, pain is part of the walking out with things of God. It's things he lays out. I'm not saying that he's made you sick today or those things, but I'm saying the highway runs through some perilous places that he puts you on. For Teresa and I to say yes to God was to, for me, when we married, and she had been divorced. And so God said to me, this is what you're going to do. You're going to marry her. You're going to raise children. And that's what I did. That was very easy. You see, I was a musician who had a lot of music. I just traveled around and had a lot of fun and never had to do anything except, you know, play music. Saying yes to that, I got a wonderful wife. A wonderful wife. And I'm so blessed because that was God's blessing to me. If you will father the children, I'll give you the wife of your dreams. But raising children when you've not had children was not an easy job. Richard was a mean little sucker. I'm saying that because he's here. Actually, he was not a mean sucker at all. Now, Carrie was a mean sucker. So now, she's a Nicaragua. We'll give her that one. Now, and Cassie was a pleasure. But we were talking about that this week, as a matter of fact. So in all that, it wasn't easy. It was a change in my life. All of a sudden, now I had to be responsible for someone other than myself. But the glory of it was the wonderful life that God began to sketch out. When Teresa and I were called to plant a church, she was on staff with Vineyard, and she's never made that much money since. And that's been how many years since then? And so I would go out on the road and live upon her fine dollars. You know, every musician's got to have a wife who works. So, I mean, I had a wonderful life. So when God says plant a church, we leave a big, humongous church where everything's there. They would take our children to Mexico for the weekend, and we could just have fun together as a married couple. And all of a sudden, we moved to a little bitty church up in the mountains of Park City and suffered for Jesus at the foot of the mountains there where all the ski is. And, you know, so you get it. It was a little rough. But the point was, life changed. And then when he said no, I said, plant a church, not move to the ski slopes. things change. We had to come and we had to be youth pastors. Melissa Hemper, Darden Hemper's here, and she was a terror to me. And she's here today as well, actually. I mean, the thing is, it's never easy down that progression, though she was a blessing. So I wanted today look at real quick at the story, because Hannah, I don't have a lot of time, and you're getting the idea what I'm saying. Just Say Yes has its pain and has its gain that's there. So let's real quick look at Luke 1:26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent, that was the cousin of Mary, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. And she was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph. These are good things. A descendant of King David. He seems like an upstanding guy. I'd like to have a king descended in my line. I really don't. But Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." And she thought, of course, this was a pickup line from an angel, because if I'm a woman and I hear that, that's kind of like, "Hey, classy lady, want a ride?" But check it out. She's confused and disturbed, and she tried to think what the angel could mean. Like, what are you doing here? And this is what he says. "Don't be afraid, for you have found favor with God." And I want to say to Steve and Linda today, don't be afraid, for you've found favor with God. And you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great, and he will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him thrones of the ancestor David. Now, at this point, I'm saying, here, let me get a pencil and some paper, you know, because this is more than one step. So it's getting a little bit bigger. She's throwing it out. He's throwing it out there. And he's going to reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. So she asked the angel, "But how can this happen? Because I am a virgin." Big stop there, right? And the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." Again, if I'm hearing this, I'm like, say what? "What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant as well." And people used to say she was barren, but she's conceived a son. "For nothing is impossible with God." Now, this Christmas, this is the message, and I know it may seem, I've heard this. I want you to get it today. Nothing is impossible with God. Amen. And that, is the Holy Spirit going to overshadow you and impregnate you? Yes. Maybe not with the child, but with a dream, with a passion. And for most of you, he already has. And you feel it. And like a child, it grows. And it's slow growth. And all you feel is the awkwardness of it. And you occasionally tell people things like, "Hey, I've got a dream. I'm pregnant with the things of God." And people look at you and go, "Sit down." Right? So you understand. Mary responded, "As every one of you would, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you've said about me come true." And the angel said, angel left her. So Mary said, yes. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country where they lived, and she entered the house, and Elizabeth greeted her, and she was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she gave out a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of the Lord should visit me?" And when she heard the greeting, the baby in her womb jumped, and "You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said." That's what she heard. You're blessed because you believe that the Lord would do what he said. This Christmas, that's it. We believe that the Lord would do what he said. That impregnation and that call is upon you. Just say yes. Just say yes. I mean, and what is the cost for her? Well, the cost is her virginity. I know that sounds, you're going, "Oh, that's, wow." But for her, that was big. Some say she was as young as 14, and it's probably about true. And for her as a young 14-year-old girl and a woman in first century Judaism, if she did not have virginity, there wasn't a whole lot of hope in the big wedding. There wasn't a whole lot of hope of marriage. But if she did get married, it more than likely would be kind of a second-class citizen. But the problem with that is that women already were second-class citizens. So she would be second to second-class citizens. She would be more in a servant's role. It would not be the same.
everything she'd hoped for, that whole hope. And by the way, it was the hope of every young woman that they could be the mother of the Messiah. They didn't know it would come like that, but everyone wanted to see. You know, today everyone wants their child to be a preacher, I guess. I don't know. My mom didn't, but she said, "I don't want you to be broke." And so, I mean, that's what she said. But the thing I'm saying is that she was giving up all of her security of life. This wasn't like, yeah, cha-ching, I'm getting the Messiah. It was, I mean, because if you wanted the Messiah to come, you might want to have that baby come down, be normal, and grow up, and be the valedictorian of this of all the, you know, learning centers of around Jerusalem. But it wasn't coming that way. It was coming with humiliation. Oh, looks like you're eating a little bit there. You're not pregnant as you seem. You're just full of them good old buttered beans. Is that what you're trying to tell me? But she would have to endure all that. She would have to endure that because that was what was going on. She had no ability to provide for herself. Everything she hoped for in life was coming true, but in a way that wasn't right, in a way that was going to cost her everything. And the pain of saying yes often is this here, and I want you to write this down, the loss of your dreams. And I'm going to put the quotes around security. You got that. That's the pain of saying yes. Your dreams and security. And I'll never forget praying for a young man last year, and it was actually this year in Mexico, and him saying, "I just want direction." And as I prayed for him, it became very clear that the direction he was taking was very lucrative financially, but it wasn't the call on his life. He was called to something that would pay no money. And I said, "Well, you make the call. Will you trust God with your security and follow the call of your life that pays out dividends more than anything financially?" I saw in his face the pain of saying yes. And I saw it in his parents' face because I went home with him and had dinner. And I was so afraid for him to tell them what we'd talked about. Now, the gain is God's plan and blessing. Are you with me this morning? This may seem simple, but I want you to understand that God's plan for your life is better than your dreams for your life. You hear me say it all the time, but it exceeds it beyond any measure. That you must understand that you can't get more blessing than God can give you. And you may say, "I want this, I want that." And God says, "Well, that's what I'm going to give you." And you may say, "But I thought it would look like this." And you say, "No, it's going to look like you getting pregnant as a virgin and being humiliated all over the place." Now, metaphorically speaking, for those today. Now, having said that, that is often the way it works. I'm not saying it has to work that way. Some people like Ray Dean, they've had it good. Every decision they make, they're rich and glorious and things are great. Raise your hand. There you go. But for most people, and you know it's true, that saying yes to the things of God takes you on a road that's a little bit different, and it changes where you're at. But you see, the loss of the standing and the security, comparison with what she would become, the mother of Messiah, that she would be the most blessed woman of all of history, Dennis, that ever could be in. It's not worth trading off. You see, that's what we see here in Romans 8:18, if I could. "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." Now, Greg, I want you to see that. She's not suffering because she's addicted to drugs and having to live in the street or something. By the way, many of us have had to deal with these things. She's not suffering because she's got a bad attitude and doesn't like being around people. And many of us have had to suffer for that, too. She's suffering because she said yes, and let's get that very clear, that her suffering in this time is due to her yes. It's due to her following what God has said. And it says it here, "We know that the whole creation has been groaning as the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit," Paul was saying, "groan inwardly as we eagerly wait for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies, for in this hope we're saved." And all he's talking about is the return of Christ to come and redeem us. Our lives are lived with a hope of the return of Christ, and that we will see his goodness in this life as well. We're not just trying to scatter out and just, "I'm suffering over here for Jesus." His hand is on us to bless us. And today we say yes with that. Bill Hall, who's an author who I love very much and a pastor who's been a blessing to me, said this here: if you have plans and strategies that you haven't worked on and show no sign of God's blessing, retreat to the surety of his leadership. He says, I often pray, Lord, I'm your servant. I will follow you even if it's into apparent failure. I have no rights to success as I define it, or as the church defines it, or as my culture defines it. I am only interested in pleasing you and being successful as you define it. Amen. Are you with me? Good heading for that there. That's a good word. Yeah. Now, that's scary. And it makes the understanding of this here. And that's scary because you're going to A&M, Matthias, and everything's there. But the point is, it doesn't matter. You move ahead and say yes, and God's hand comes and moves in this way. The second one, and I must be quick, is the guy Joseph. He seems to got it in some way. It says, this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. And real quick, this has got to be awesome when he finds out his little fiancé is pregnant. And he says, you know, what's going on here? The Holy Spirit impregnated me. And of course, he's going to get to go back to all his buddies and family and go, you know, when he sees his parents, well, no, she wasn't fooling around. The Holy Spirit has impregnated her. Now, you know, that's not flying very well in anyone's house here today any more than it did then. Now, obviously now there's someone who's done it. So someone might say, well, it's happened before. It could happen again. But at that time, no. So in this case here, certainly Joseph is having to deal with this. He wanted to divorce her quietly. He could have really humiliated her. He could have done a lot of things, even death, some say. But he wanted to quietly put it aside, mainly because he's a nice guy. But the other is here. Joseph doesn't seem like the kind of guy who wants a lot of drama. Got me? Joseph, let's just put this thing aside. I'm humiliated already. I'm a carpenter. I'm doing good for myself. I'm of the descendant of David, which meant a lot. Things are good for me. I didn't really count on my life getting screwed up this quick right out of the chute. But it is. And let's just do it quietly. And as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son. And you're to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through the prophet, that a virgin would conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. He said yes. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. Now, for myself, I just want to say, in my life, I knew I wanted to be a preacher. I had walked out of a life where I was a musician and had done things that were taking me away from that call that was in my life. And here I was standing ready to go, and when the Lord spoke to me and said, if you'll follow the children, I'll give you the wife of the dreams. I knew at that time already I loved Teresa. But I wouldn't tell her that because she was divorced. And I knew that wasn't going to look well for a man who wanted to be a preacher. Forget all the things that I had done. That wasn't the point. You get up this time here, I was kind of like a very nice guy. And so there was concern because there's other denominations that would not allow me to be a preacher if I was married to a divorced woman. Now, the point was the Lord came to me and I said, she's divorced. And he said to me, she failed trying to do the right thing. You never tried to do the right thing. Now, I won't go any further than that, but you're getting the point. The point was I had judged someone harshly and the Lord really come and spoke to me. But the point at that moment, I said, if you would teach me how to be a father, yes, all day. And to Mary, a beautiful woman who loved me as much as her, was of no difficult task at all. It was a blessing. But to say yes when everything looked, this wasn't the way it was like really laid out, was it? Yes. Yes, it was. And of course, in that, I got three wonderful children. And I really mean that, with Richard, Carrie, and Cassie, who blessed my life more than I could ever, ever say, and still are blessings to my life today. They're going to take care of me, because I'm getting old quick. So I praise God for that. Now, the main thing I'm saying here, as we look at him, did it cost him his reputation? Sure it did. He's a hardworking man, as we already said. He's a carpenter who didn't. But what's it costing him in this? I want you to hear this, Walter. This guy wanted a simple life. That's all you and Susan ever wanted when you lived in the woodlands, just a nice, simple life. Go to church, play organ, go home. And God screwed your life up, and you read some article about some guy planting church who had long hair, and you said, yes, we took all your money. We've left you with nothing. You don't get to go anywhere except to Chicago when it's cold to visit her sister. Just say yes. Randy and Karen say yes. They have this house they've lived in all their life. Boom, they got to sell it and move here. Screwed your life up to no end. It just was going to be simple. It's not simple anymore, is it? And I'm going to tell you, I was talking with Coco. You and Vince, and Coco was a member of our church for a long time. She got mad and left, but she said, no, she got married and left because they lived in up around Bastrop, Smithville. So it was a little bit of a commute. But her and Vince, they are involved in youth ministry. How's that working for you?
Yay!
Yeah, exactly. Yay! The Creamers have just jumped in. They were already involved. They were already took a crazy pill earlier. But isn't, you know, people come up and say, how's it being a youth pastor? And you're like, this is wonderful. If you're looking for the simple life, if you're looking for the tranquility, saying yes is a difficult proposition. When Teresa and I began to adopt, Cassie was about 14, 15 in there. And it was pretty clear that Cassie was going to move on pretty quick. She wasn't going to hang around until she was 25. Look at her. She's staring at me right now. And so we knew we'd probably be empty nesters pretty quick. And I was digging on this because we just had planted a church. And I'm thinking, we'll get the church planted, get everything in order. You and I, we'll go back, because at the time we'd been traveling the world. I was always in Europe. She was all over the place, every continent. And we'll go back and do these things. But when she said, let's start adopting children, I want to tell you right now, tranquility has been lost for a lifetime. Right, Tony? You know, I'm looking at Tony LaBelle. It's over. I'm not as old as Tony. Tony's old. I'm 51. But I'm 51 and I got a one-year-old. It doesn't look like it's ever going to be empty nested. Do you understand where I'm at? But saying yes, it's an adventure and it's an honor. See, the pain of saying yes often is the loss of our reputation and tranquility. You say reputation, yes, because often, and I could tell you stories of those, but it's for the gain of God's honor and adventure. One of them, let's take Brian Fox and Shannon Fox. They were with the Church of Christ. And for Brian to come to the Vineyard and walk out of the Church of Christ, really he stepped away for something he had standing and appreciation and honor in. And it wasn't an easy transition between all his friends and family. And I don't want to speak for him. I'll leave that to you. But others who've come from that, I know that the Knoxes came out of a denomination where you had standing in things. And you step into the Vineyard and all of a sudden people go, oh, so you're a pastor at the Vineyard. What is that? I know what a Kia is, but what's a Vineyard? Do you see what I'm saying? You're lower than a Kia. We don't even know what that is. So do you understand? Often God will take you out of a place where you may have standing to begin to serve in a place where it doesn't really equate mean anything. I remember an example, when I moved to California, I came right out of Texas A&M. And man, whoop, that's right. And being an Aggie was everything to my life. It was my sole identity. When I got pulled over by cops, which is unfortunately quite often, they'd say, are you an Aggie? Or is that just a sticker? I'd say, no, I'm an Aggie. And I'd show them my school ID. They'd follow me home. I'm not kidding you. I was treated with such respect. It wasn't due. When I got to California, people would say, hey, what's up? And I'd say, I'm an Aggie. And they go, what the heck's an Aggie? Everything was gone. And I realized then that finding an identity that was in God and God alone was the only thing that was ever going to be the real thing in my life. Preaching too much there in that. Here's just one of the things, the adventure. That's a nice way of saying chaos. See, Brian Benita wanted chaos. There were quotation marks in that, fill in the blank. And I said, that might scare some people. But he was right. When you come to my house, I like to think of it as an adventure. We'd like to invite you over for dinner and an adventure. It's an adventure. And so in that life, Steve and Linda, did they leave? They've already left. They've flown. You could never see Linda in his place, that's for sure. It's an adventure. And that's what you'll face, is an adventure. Are you with me this morning? Have I went too long? Christmas, saying yes to Christmas, okay, an adventure. That's right. There's whatever God has promised you, 2 Corinthians, let me go ahead. I've already passed that other one up. Don't worry about it. Mel, give me 2 Corinthians 1:20. Whatever God has promised, get stamped with the yes of Jesus. In him, this is what we preach and pray. The great amen. God's yes and our yes together, gloriously evident. God affirms us, making us a sure thing in Christ, putting his yes within us by his Spirit. He has stamped us with his eternal pledge, a sure beginning of what he is destined to complete. That's from the message, but I want you to get that. He's destined to complete that. That's what he does. He stamped you with a yes, even as you've said yes, in its adventure. And that's really, by the way, when Joseph marries Mary and they have Jesus, and the first thing that happens is the Holy Spirit says, get the baby and move to Egypt. Do you think that was what the simple life man was thinking of? Moving to Egypt? But he did. And he lived in a foreign country. This simple carpenter who just wanted to build furniture is living in Egypt, running from the law. Wow. I gotta love an adventure like that. Fantastic. So good. Bill Hull says this here. Hold your life loosely. Forget yourself. Follow him and let him take you where you need to go. Lose yourself in the mission. That is the joyful wonderland of his plan for every follower. And I give you the last one because there's one last person in here we've forgotten about. And that is the guy who's doing the impregnating here. So you can't throw him out the window. The Holy Spirit. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. We've read this already. I see it again. His mother Mary was engaged. But it says here that she was still a virgin. She became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Anytime God gives you a call, Hawk, he empowers that. He's not just going to impregnate you in that with that heart. He empowers that call. His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the impregnator of all mankind's callings and every God dream that you have. That's him doing that. And when we get that inside of us, that slow-growing call and that vision, we have that season, as I've already said, of pregnancy, and that season where we're just waiting for the birthing of it, and we find ourselves trying to have the baby by ourselves. You know what I'm saying? I got to get it going. I got to get it. What do you do? I'm breathing. Well, breathing doesn't make it happen. That's what you start doing when it happens, you see. It's interplay. You can't make that happen. Anyone who's ever tried to make that happen knows what I'm saying. You walked up and down the beach. You've done everything you could do. But the same comes with vision and calling. You can't make it happen, but you plan for the happening. You get ready. You see the coach and all those things. You get all that going. But it's going to be the Holy Spirit who does that. Zechariah 4:6, I love what the Lord says. He says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. I'm going to do that. But from the Holy Spirit's perspective, we want to say, is there pain and gain for him in this? Well, certainly there is. Certainly there is. Because the Holy Spirit, for the most part, chooses to use people to fulfill the plans of God here on earth. Would you not agree with that? And we see in 2 Chronicles 6:9a, one of my favorite verses. And thank you for that, yes. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. To show his power to those who are committed to him. Why is he looking for those people? Because he uses people. And those who are committed to him this morning, He is searching to and fro to come and lend his power to you because you are the ones he uses to bring about the plans of the kingdom of God. Jesus could have just appeared. Couldn't they just brought him out of the desert? Who are you? Well, I've been over here and I've been over there. He's a mysterious man. But look, he's doing miracles. But they didn't. He submitted him to being born of a woman. Someone born in a place where he could have died to go through the whole process. He allowed this woman to say yes or no to him. He allowed this man over here to be part of the process to say yes or no. Joseph could have said, I'm not down with this, man. No. I'm not involved with this. But he didn't. He said yes. But the Holy Spirit's in the mix of this. Do you understand what I'm saying? Could have cut everyone out. But he didn't. See, the Holy Spirit is dependent upon relationship with us. By choice, but dependent. And our relationship with others in fulfilling the kingdom of God. Because the relationship between Mary and Joseph came together. He allowed even that to work. And for most of you who've ever been married or who married, you know that first year is not an easy year. Can you imagine that your wife is pregnant by the Holy Spirit? And you're having that conversation every day. And there's no sex. So I'm just going to throw that out there. This guy is a hero, and I'm just going to give it to him. He could have just said, no way, man. I'm not going down with that. I've waited a long time. I'm ready to roll. The Holy Spirit's dependent upon us, and he chooses to do this, and he's grieved by our actions when we can't seem to walk out together the relationship and call that he's given us. We see this here in Ephesians 4:29. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with envy from a form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. You see, the Holy Spirit is saying this here. You grieve me when you can't relate with one another to fulfill the plan that I put on you and called you. Others have said, well, you stopped worship too early. You grieved the Holy Spirit. That's never what that means. It's a relational thing. And when we're at odds with each other and we can't get along with each other and we can't say yes to God and yes to each other, we grieve the Holy Spirit who's got a plan. My life, he had a plan on my life, but it coincided with Teresa's plan for her life, which began to coincide with a plan for my children and their children. It continues on down the road. Every time that we see, I get a phone call from Nicaragua, I know that that's part of the something that was going on. Every time that I see my other children touching people's lives, I know that was because of a yes and because working on the relationship that went with it. Paul, like this, is, you know, we're the temple of the living God. We see this in 2 Corinthians. As God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. I'm just going to show you that last verse real quick. He has chosen to use us as his temple. I will walk among them and they're going to be my people. I got one question for you today. How's that working for you, God? How is it working for you, us being your people? I want to say it's not been good. He spent his entire time pursuing us. Everyone's here because he pursued you. And every one of us who said yes to him have said no many times after that. And how many times did we say no before we said yes? We've been a pain in his Holy Spirit. Well, God's got a rear end. He showed it to Moses. So he's a bit, you see what I'm saying? We've been a pain. But he chose us. He chose us this Christmas. I want you to understand, just as Jesus said yes, the Holy Spirit has said yes, the Father has said yes, and we say yes. The gain of saying yes is intimate relationship, guys. For the pain of unfulfilled hopes. How many times, and as you're writing it down, has the Holy Spirit put something in someone like Mary, and it got started, and they got hurt, and they shut it off and stopped everything because of relational chaos? or giving up a relationship with God. How many times has the Holy Spirit been grieved? Can we not continue to sow into each other as the Holy Spirit sows into us? To impregnate others with vision and calling, pray for them, knowing that there's a time that someone's going to look us straight in the face and say, no. I said I would show up today and do children's ministry, but no. I said today I would show up and do, but I won't. We continue to realize this here, that to believe in people is to be a person who experiences pain. To believe in one another is to experience pain. Do you agree with me? But there is nothing that you can have of love if you're not willing to be hurt. You can't enjoy the things of God if you're writing people off. I can't tell you how many people have said, I want to be a preacher. I love the Word of God. I just hate people. Yes, it's quite common in my profession. But in that, I want you to understand, we please God when we say yes, and we please God when we say yes to other people, and we forgive, and we relate, just as Christ, in Christ you've been forgiven. Would you stand with me now? Bill Hull would say this here, and as the ministry team comes, they come now. The first responsibility of a servant is to follow and to do his master's will. Jesus tells me to lose my life in the mission, to relinquish control of my life to him. When I do this, and only this, will I find that I find all that I ever wanted. The true rewards are in finding my life. This morning, the first yes I call you to is for those of you who've never, ever said yes to Jesus. This Christmas, please don't leave without saying yes to Jesus. This Christmas, please don't let this season pass when you see the time we celebrate this baby being born here on earth, coming to come and die for us. Don't forget to say yes to him. Give him your life. And for those of us who've said yes to him already, let's be reminded of this, that he's calling us to a yes every day and every night. As we meet with him, he's speaking in our hearts, speaking in our ears, saying no to Satan, saying yes to him. That's life, and that's a good life. And that's the life you're being called to. As I said in the song this morning, this Christmas, I'm giving me back to you. That's the song I'm singing. And I call you as you come for prayer, for the pain in your bodies, for the pain in your lives, for the broken relationships, and for the broken promises. Know that the Holy Spirit has come to empower the impregnation and call. So come forward and I'm going to pray. Come, Holy Spirit, now. I ask that you, this morning, as you move upon this place, would come and empower the calls and empower the yeses that are in the mouth of your people. I ask that you bless them. Financially, come and move upon their lives. Shake them free. Let the yeses come that say, I will learn to do and listen to you and walk in righteousness. I will, because your Spirit empowers it. I will say yes to those who are hurting. I will become a giver. I will become a servant. I will become someone who thinks of someone other than myself. This Christmas, I'm giving me back to you. Say yes. Now be blessed in the name of the Father who has said yes to you and has given you a call. Say yes to the Son whose blood poured out for you has given you forgiveness that you can have this relationship with the Father. And yes to the Holy Spirit who is now even moving upon you. And you sense his presence to empower you, to drive you beyond tranquility and into the adventure. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you so much today.